You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Melbourne, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3. Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
Yes, good morning, Saints of God. This is Tom coming to you live each week, except last week. I had a little bit of bump in the road, as we all probably do sometimes. And it's time to wake up. I'm trying to wake up this morning myself. I've been dragging just a little bit, going to doctors and having a few things done before surgery next week. I have to tell you, at my age, it's a little exhausting sometimes what you have to do to prepare for surgery, but I don't want to go into that, but anyway, appreciate your prayers. I really do, because the word reminds us, you know, to call upon him, and He said, I would show you great and mighty things that you know us not of. And also the word reminds us that, is there anything too difficult for him? And, you know, don't be disappointed if you've asked the Lord for healing. And that's what I, you know, challenge my own life. You know, if the Lord doesn't supernaturally heal you, that's what we'd like. And he can. But sometimes his pathway is prayer and medicine. Sometimes his will is using doctors. And we have to be content with that, that he leads you to the right person to help you with the issues that you might be having and facing. And, you know, he said, lo, I'm with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. And that's the assurance that you and I have, that God's never late. He's never late, saints of God. He is always on time. And that's what I love about the Lord. You know, some of you might think he's left you. Maybe you've left him. You know, the most important thing, you know, I asked my wife the other day, you know, we were going to the airport, picking some friends up, and welcome back, Mark and Mary, by the way. I asked her a question, and I didn't expect her response to be what it was, but it was absolutely awesome. I said, if you could ask the Lord for anything here on this earth to do for you, what would it be? And I know this kind of sounds silly to, you know, bring this up or to ask someone that question, but think about it now. You know, if I ask her, I said, if you could just ask the Lord one thing, what would it be? And I already knew how I would have responded to that. I would have wanted the Lord to take my life back and minus 30 or 40 years off of it so I could go back to my youth again. You know, not have any aches and pains or this. That was my response. Her response, and I asked her, I said, can you share that with me again? And her response was that I lead more people to Christ. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's what I should have said, or should have thought and said, you know, that I lead people, more people to him. And saints of God, you know, the days are getting darker. We all know that. My show's not about discouraging one another, doom and gloom. Although, you know, we're living in a world where I've never seen so much hatred. I've never seen so much madness. I've never seen so much discord in my entire life as I've seen today. And I'm sure you're seeing it, you know, that people are just, you can't even drive anymore, and they're riding your tail, hoping that, you know, get over, and they're doing 90 when you're doing the speed limit. Nobody obeys the speed limits anymore. Nobody obeys the stop signs anymore. There was one time I was, came to a light, and the light turned green, and I went through the intersection, and one guy almost slammed the side of my door. And I'm telling you, it must have been God that sent an angel down, because he swerved and hit the medium. And, you know, we have God's protection. And I'm so grateful that we serve a big God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I really, to be honest with you, I prepared my message this morning. It was going to be in James. And then I got here, and the Lord kind of just wrestled with me a little bit that, you know, that's what you want. And maybe later on you can share that in the book of James, where it talks not just to be a hearer of the word, but let's be a doer. But this morning I'm going to share something that's really close to my heart. And I'm going to play some music in a second, and then we'll share some scripture. It's my second favorite scripture in the Word of God, and I'll reveal that one. The first one's John 3:16, and shortly I'll reveal what my second favorite scripture is. But it is important that we minister to one another, encourage one another. You're not called to clean people up. You know, how often when I first started, when I was in the mission field, you know, I'd be going to the bars in Waikiki and ministering on the streets and telling people, the hookers, that, you know, you're all sinners, or the ladies of the night, rather, that you're all sinners, you need to repent. You know, that's not the way to do it, you know? That's not the way to do it. I'd go in bars and tell everybody, praise the Lord, Jesus loves you all. And you'd hear the beer mugs hit the counter and, you know, bartender saying, yo, get out. That's not how you minister. You know, we're not called to clean people up. We're called to love on them with his love, with his mercy, with his kindness, with his gentleness. So, you know, here I am trying to tell people, you need to repent. You're a sinner. They already know they're a sinner. You don't need to tell them. you probably just need to go up to them and say, do you know Jesus loves you? And really maybe start off with saying, how are you doing today? You know, becoming their friend. As the scriptures remind us, as the deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. So if a deer is tasting the waters, what happens when you come up and yell at that deer? He's going to run away on you. And I think, you know, we have to be careful, you know, and this is just me, you know, this is Tom. We have to be careful when we go up to people. You need to have God's grace when you minister to people. You have to have his mercy and his love. You just don't go up to somebody, and unless you're led by the Holy Spirit, you know, you just don't yell at them and say you're a sinner and you need to repent, because they already know they're a sinner. You know, just have to go up to them and say, hey, how are you doing today? You know, and have an opportunity to really get to know them. And then you'll have opportunities to share Christ with them and scripture with them. There, you know, and the first one you should share with them is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. So when my wife said that, what's one thing? Many people would have responded, I'd ask the Lord for $1 million. Well, what would you do with $1 million if you can't handle your own account right now? You know, we have to be faithful with, as the scriptures tell us, with a few things before he makes us ruler over many. So here, many people would probably respond to that, I hope I hit the lottery. You know, my wife's response was, I'd like to lead many, many people to Jesus so that when they die, they know where they're going. I tell you what, you ask people on the streets, they don't even, half of them don't even know what today is. You know, they couldn't even tell you, it's, you know, is it Wednesday, Thursday? You know, someone asked one person that, what was it, the Battle of the Bulge? And they said, who's he? They didn't know what the Battle of the Bulge, that war. They didn't even know Normandy. They don't even know about the dropping of the bombs in Hiroshima. It's we're clueless anymore. I sometimes think they're dumbing us down a little bit. You know, they're dumbing us down. And I think we as God's people, the program here is called Wake Up. The ministry name now is Encouraging One Another. And that is my prayer for you. That's my prayer for the churches, that we, and especially if you go to my church, you know, they're good at encouraging and they're good at loving on you. You know, you might have one or two that might say something negative to you. You're always going to get that in the crowd. I like what Pastor Malcolm said. He said that if one person in this church offends you or hurts you, there'll be many, many more that's going to love on you. And I love that. We're not called to fall fine. We're not called to go to church to be critical, because if you have a critical spirit, you need to ask the Lord to break that off your life. You know, grumbling about this and grumbling about that and always being, you know, he inhabits the praises of his people, not the complaints of his people. So we have to be careful that we don't get in a spirit of being jealous, a spirit of being, you know, well, that person, or backbiting and stabbing someone in the back, you know, with your mouth or your words. That's not what Jesus has called us to. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. You know, he went to the cross and shed his precious blood that you and I might have life. And the abundant life doesn't mean, you know, you don't live a life of grumbling and murmuring about someone and criticizing this church and criticizing. I know. I've seen some things in ministry. I'm going to be honest with you, folks, that I really dislike. You know what I've been doing? Just praying for them. I just praying for these folks that, you know, are building these big mansions and ministry and $70 million jets, which you could take that money and, you know, they could take that money and they could put it into investments in their ministry and endow their ministry forever. You know, ministry, what ministry is about is not how big your church is. It's not how many books you've written. It's not about your PhDs. It's not about anything that you'll ever accomplish. The ministry is about people. If you get close enough to Jesus and you spend some quiet time with him, you know, you're going to find out what his heart beats. Your heart does beat. Your heart and mine beats. The heart of Jesus, his heart beats people, 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 people. That's why he went to that cross, to shed his precious blood, that you and I might have life and life more abundantly. Are you living that abundant life? You know, do you really know him? Are you reading the word to have it in your head for head knowledge? Are you asking the Lord to take the word from the head to the heart? And when you ask him to take it to the heart, I tell you what, You're going to come alive. You're going to become so on fire for Jesus. You won't even have time to backbite and talk about someone. You know, because, you know, my mother-in-law once said years ago, my late mother-in-law, she said, you know, if you pick your friends apart, you won't have any friends. You just won't have any friends. So are you being critical? Are you being negative all the time? Are you doom and gloom all the time? You know, tarry, the word says, the word reminds us, tarry till he comes. Stay busy. And a lot of people are just chatterboxes. They just want to gossip and talk about this sister and this brother, and motor mouth wants to keep going on, you know. And, you know, that's not how we're to live, you know. No wonder people don't want to come to church, because they see how we act, you know. They see the, how the Christians act, and they say, I don't want any part of that. Lord, help us. Help us to love one another as you would, that the, your love, your compassion, your mercy, your gentleness would flow through us, that we could let flow to other people and lead them to you, that they may know you as Lord and Savior. I tell you, folks, it is time for all of us to wake up, including Tom. And I put myself on that. Lord, wake me up that I don't grumble. You know, you're going to wake up and your day's not going to go probably the way you think. You should pray, Lord, guide my steps, because the word says the steps of a righteous are ordered by him. You're going to wake up and you might have a snowstorm. You might have a hurricane coming your way. You know, you might have to go to the airport and you find out your friend's not there. He's somewhere else. Well, that's just life. You know, you know, you might go around the Orlando airport 20 times. But that's just life. That's just going to happen. Are you going to grumble? Are you going to say, Lord, thank you for giving me patience. Thank you for giving me your love. Thank you for giving me your mercy. That's how we should live this life. Or are we just complaining? Oh, we grumbling about this. And, oh, gas prices are going up. And are we grumbling about what he didn't do and he should have done and he didn't do? You know, are we in a constant state of complaining? That's what it, we should shed all that stuff off. Let it go. Let the Lord deal with us in a way that we live that people want to know what makes us tick. I'm just being honest with you. You know, you can complain if you want, but it doesn't do any good. This is his word says, and I shared this scripture with my wife the other day. You know, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us what? Let us what? Rejoice and be glad. Are you rejoicing? Or are you just bickering all the time and grumbling all the time? You know, the Lord doesn't want us to do that. He just wants us to shed that negative, you know, spirit or critical spirit off. And I pray it's broken over you that are listening, that if you have that critical spirit, you know, let's ask the Lord to break it off of your life, you know, because it doesn't do any good. I remember, you know, when my mom passed away and I called my dad and he was at a bar in Louisville, Kentucky. And I called him. I told the bartender, is my dad there? It's 1:30 in the morning. My mom just had passed away. And I said, the bartender said, yeah, he's drunk. I said, well, put him on. And they put my dad on. I said, Dad, mom passed away. And he hung up. He just hung up. And then the next day he came in drunk, or that evening, I don't know what time he got in, but I asked him that morning or the next day, I said, Dad, what are we going to do? Mom's passed away. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm leaving. He said, goodbye. And he said, he told me something. He said, you know what? You're never going to amount to anything. And I thought, what? He said, you're always going to be poor and penniless. And he said, you're never going to have anything. And I said, really? And you know, I was believing that. Now, some of you could disagree with me. You know, I'm not a scholar. Not, you know, come on now. I'm not a scholar. But when you tell someone that, especially at an early age in their life, you know, they're going to begin to believe it. You know, and I thought all hope was gone. We lived in poverty. Mom's gone. I had to call her brother up in New York, and they came down to take her body back up to New York for the burial. And I went with them, my sister and I. But to make a long story short, I was believing those words. I'm never going to amount to anything. I'm never going to have anything. And I kept believing that. I just needed one person to come up and shake me and say, you know, do you know Jesus? Because his word in 1 John says, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I wish someone would have shared that with me, but they didn't. And you know, for years, I was quiet. You couldn't get a word out of me. And in high school, I was named the most quietest student with the most famous name, Tom Jones. There used to be a singer, Tom Jones, but the quietest Tom Jones. And I was noted to be very quiet. You couldn't get a word out of me, you know, because I thought the whole world was on my shoulder now. I had a sister to take care of. I had to work a little bit, and I thought, how we didn't have any money. And my dad said I wasn't going to amount to anything, and you're just never going to do anything. And you know what? I just wish someone to come up and just said, Tom, it's going to be okay. The Lord will take care of you. You know, the Lord will provide. No one shared that with me. It's time, thanks to God, that we open our mouth now. There's many people out there needing a word of encouragement. Someone needs to pray for them. They may be having surgery. They may have lost their husband. There's opportunities and that I don't want you to miss each and every day that you wake up. Yeah, the storms are going to come. Yeah, you'll be driving around the airport 20 times. Don't just be complaining. Praise. Praise him. Put on a praise tape and start praising him and being grateful that you even woke up this morning. You know, have opportunities. These are divine opportunities that we get every day to test our faith, our Christianity, not lose it. And run someone off the road because, you know, you've got to go around the airport again. You know, go around and around again. You're going to lose your temper. He don't want us to lose our temper. You know, he wants us to rest in him. The word, the scripture reminds us the steps of righteous are ordered by him, not you, your steps every day. And I pray that you faithfully walk in those steps that he's called you to walk in. Not be murmuring and grumbling and complaining. He doesn't want that anymore. You know, the world does that. You just turn on the news, and the world's good at being negative and critical. We're reminded that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I tell you what, when you set your eyes on Christ, you come to know him as your Lord and Savior, you are never going to be the same again. Yes, there may be some issues in your life. You let Jesus deal with that. You let him burn you up, burn those things out of you that aren't right. And there's things in my life and issues that, Lord, help me on. Help me to stay focused. Don't let me complain about the bigness of the problems in life, but let me stay focused on the bigness and greatness of you. And that's what he wants out of us all, to be that light into the dark places, to be that blessing, to tell someone about Jesus, or to go up and hug someone. Yesterday, I walked in and there's a widow that we have several widows in our company and that we take care of. She wanted me to come there to adjust her irrigation, and she said, can you take my garbage out, and can you do this, and I need a glass of water. She's handicapped. I said, be glad to, Kay. And we take care of her lawn, and lovely, lovely lady, and she knows I'm having surgery, and she said, yep, I'm saddened to hear about the surgeon won't take your insurance. I said, yep, me too, because, you know, my wife and I have to pay for the surgery, and because Medicare doesn't accept this surgeon. And she said, well, go get my checkbook over there. And I said, Kay, what are you saying, Kay? No, you've already paid us. We did your maintenance a few weeks ago. You don't owe us anything. And she said, no, I want to help you. And I said, no, Kay, no, we got it all taken care of, but thank you. You know, and I learned, you know, that just wherever you are, to be that blessing to whoever you meet for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. The word says, don't worry about tomorrow, for today has enough cares of its own. I didn't take anything from Kate. I wasn't going to. You know, I said, okay, thank you for the offer, but we have it taken care of. You know, and my business partner has been generous to me by giving me a few extra thousand that I can put down on this. But God always provides, and so will he provide for you. Again, don't worry about tomorrow, because if you concentrate about tomorrow, you know, thinking about what the stock market's going to do tomorrow, what the bank account, I got to look at that, and I got to look at the jobs and do this and do that, which is nothing wrong with it, don't get me wrong. But if you think about tomorrow, then you are absolutely missing the divine opportunities that are coming your way today. You're going to miss them. You are absolutely going to miss them. Kay needed her garbage taken out. She asked me to check her mail, and I brought her mail in. Those are divine opportunities that we can be the light that Jesus has called us to be. And I'm not here to brag or toot a horn. I'm not. But we need to look for opportunities to be that blessing to other people. If they're hurting, you hurt with them. If they need something, you make sure they get it. You be the eyes and hands and arms that Jesus has called you to be, to love on that person that needs that opportunity. And you know what? When I came to Christ, the word says, old things are passed away, behold, you're a new creature. Didn't say I didn't have any issues, but Christ dealt with my issues, that he made me a new creature in him. And I tell you what, I've never been the same. I've never been the same. And I know I'm kind of hopping all over the place this morning, but Lord, wake us up. Wake us up to hear the essence of your heart, which beats people, people, people. Let us look when we wake up no matter how bad traffic is, let's put a praise tape on and not complain and blow our horn at the next guy that can't even move. You know, you get to the shopping place and they're pushing their carts into you. Just say, oh, well, Lord loves you. Jesus loves you. Instead of complaining and yelling at him, you know, be a blessing. Turn around and smile at him. Come on now, folks. You know, but we're so, you know, our president of the neighborhood said something to me, and it's really been sticking with me. Lovely lady. She's done a great job for her development, and I love working with her. I'm her assistant in the neighborhood, try to keep the guys, you know, they yell at her, and I stand up and say, no, you're not going to yell at a lady. She's doing the best she can. Leave her alone. And so she said something, and it has been sticking with me all this time. She said, you know what? Our problem is in America. And I believe it's in the White House and Congress. And I'm not talking politics, Republican or Democrat. I think they all have this issue. I think America has this issue. And God help us if it's even in the church. Lord help us. You know what the issue is today? I think we have another Trinity. Now, you can disagree. There's only one Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. I realize that. And I know that. But I think in America, we've gotten rid of that. It's not about Jesus, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not about that anymore. It's about me, myself, and I. Now think about that one. Me, myself, and I. It's what I can get, what I can do, what I can get out of someone. We become self-centered and greedy. I'm all for capitalism. I love capitalism. Don't you dare get me wrong. That's what's made America great. But I think we've gotten so much that we become stingy. We want more stuff, more things, and things just don't bring happiness. You know? I look at ministries that are suffering. I look at what the people have, you know, I'm not being critical, but it seems like there's not an urgency to get the gospel out. When missionaries come to town, oh, well, God bless them. You know, I had someone tell me, well, God will provide. Well, how does God provide? Someone call me and tell me today, how does God provide? You know, someone once told me, now, Brother Tom, calm down. That man running for office is a Christian. I said, well, just because a mouse is in the cookie jar doesn't make him a cookie. You know, well, Jesus is in control. Yeah, he's in control, all right. Yeah, he's in control. That's right, he's in control. But I don't see Jesus going to the voting booth. You are. Now, come on, folks. When you tell a brother or sister that God will take care of you, God's in control, well, maybe God's trying to speak to you instead of them saying, brushing it off. Maybe you need to do something. You know, and I'm hitting it a little hard today. But don't tell someone God will provide. Yep, he will. We know that. But how does God provide if he doesn't use you? If your ears aren't open, if your heart isn't open, if your mind isn't open, how in the world are you going to hear God? If you're not spending enough time in the Word of God, if you're not spending enough time in prayer, and you don't even go to church, how in the world are you going to tell somebody God will provide for you? You're not even getting close to God. You're not even tithing. You know, how in the world is this going to happen? God uses us. God wants to use us. That his perfect will be done, that we become that blessing to people. We tell people about Jesus, and we reach out and give them a glass of water. We reach out and buy their dinner. How's this going to work? You know, Jesus isn't coming down from heaven. He has to use people. He has to use people that know him, that are on fire for him, that wants to get the missionaries out, that wants to make an impact in America. You know, not to be known. There's people that I'm not wanting to be known. That's for sure. That's why I took my name off the ministry. I don't want my name. Like Billy Graham said, if your name's mentioned once, it's mentioned once too many. I don't want it anymore. I want to talk about Jesus and what Jesus wants to do for you and I. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Lord stirring your heart, Lord stirring your mind, and having him fire you up. And I mean that. You go to church and, you know, Lord, fire us up. Don't let us have a critical spirit. Don't let us have a critical spirit. Don't look at another brother and say, well, that brother's overweight or that brother needs help. Well, we all need help. Start looking at your own self. Clean your house up before you go to someone else. It says, judge, lest ye be judged. It does. You can go to the Bible. He wrote the book. If you have any complaints, go to God, not me. You know, he said, judge, lest ye be judged. Take the log out of your eye before you go to another brother. Okay? Now, you understand that? So I believe when you go to another brother, you better make sure that fault is not in your own life. And when you minister to that brother, you better make sure that you grace your words with love, mercy, compassion, gentleness, and kindness. You know, don't clean that brother up or that sister up. Make sure the log's out of your eye before you go to that brother and tell him what to do. And when you minister to that brother, you minister with God's love.
God's mercy and God's compassion. But you know what's going to happen? You're going to take that brother and he's not going to want to go to church anymore. You're going to scare him away. As the deer panteth for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. So the deer's tasting the water. You go up and yell at it, that deer is going to take off. And so many of us go up and we tell people what they should and should not be doing. That's not our job. Our job is to love on them. Give them a hug. You know, tell them God loves you. Give them an encouraging word out of the scriptures. You know, if you see, you can find fault with anyone. You can come here at the studio or listen to me and say, that brother's off. You know, well, why don't you just pray for me then? You know, you can pick people apart. But I'll tell you what, if you start doing that and having a critical spirit, you're not going to have any friends want to be around you. You're going to stink so much they won't be around you. You know, I stunk one time. My wife even told me. She said, you stunk when you were on TV. I said, well, I took a bath. She said, that's not what I'm talking about. She said, you stink. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're going to listen to yourself being on TV. It was all about you. No, it's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about him. It's not trying to make a name. It's not trying to get all the glitter and glamour and save up all the gold and the silver and all the money and heck with anyone else. No, we're here for a reason, to take the gifts and talents that Jesus has given us and to be that great blessing that he's calling us to be. You know, if you have any problems with me, look, I'm not a scholar. You know, I'm still learning the word of God. You know, you think you can do better than me, then you come on 91.5 and you take over then. You know, God doesn't look for ability, but in a person, he looks for availability in a willing heart that's willing to do something, like the disciples. You have any complaints? You know, look, let's draw near to him. As the scriptures tell us, draw near to him and what he will draw nearer to you. So I'm going to open the phone lines up. You know, if that's okay, Danny, for a few minutes. Thank you, Danny. And you share your heart if you want. If you need prayer, call in. If you want to pray for me for my upcoming surgery, call in. Because we need to pray and encourage one another. This was what it's about. It's not a one-man show. It's not a one-man. This Christian walk is not a one-man show. It takes all of us corporately coming together to work together to be that blessing that Christ has called us to be. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to need people around you supporting you, helping you, praying for you, loving on you. If you're going to be a congressman, you need still people to encourage you, to love on you, to be around you. You know, not the naysayers. Well, you can't do it. You know, and my fault, my problem was when my dad said, you'll never mount anything, you'll never have anything. And then he left and slammed the door, and I never saw him again for years. You know what I had to do when I became a Christian? I had to take those words that were spoken over to me, and in Jesus' name, I said, Lord, I don't understand Christianity. I'm a new baby Christian. But I take those words, and I'm going to curse those negative words that were spoken over my life. Because, you know, you said to encourage one another. Your word didn't say discourage one another. That I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm just going to break curse those words that were spoken over me. And I've never been the same since. I've never been the same. So don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. You can't make it. You can't go that way. Or you're just not right with God. You can't be their Holy Spirit. You can't clean people up and stop it. Stop cleaning them up. You know, I love what Jesus said. In the scriptures, I think the disciples were eating with dirty hands, and their tradition, Jewish traditions were they had to clean their hands before they ate, but they didn't. They just ate. And the Pharisees, the religious people, said, oh, we caught him. Jesus steps in, and he said, what's wrong? He said, we caught your boys eating with dirty hands. I love Jesus' response. He said, listen, boys, that's not what he quite said. But he said, listen, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles the body. It's what comes out. What's coming out of your mouth? Are you encouraging that sister? Are you backbiting and one another in church? Are you being critical to the pastor? That's not your job. You know what? If you're doing that, you need to be praying for him. And you need to repent of having a critical spirit. You really do. And I see that rampant today. I see this person and, oh, they're being critical and talking about this one. You know what? I don't have time for that. You want me to gossip with you? I won't do it. I will not do it. You know, I've got men in a homeless shelter to take care of. I'm trying to figure this ministry out. I'm trying to figure everything out. I just have to, Lord, you help me. Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. If you've got a complaint, take that complaint and start praying for that pastor. Start praying for that missionary. Start praying for the brother that's next to you in church or in front of you. And give him a hug in church. You know, don't stay quiet. Come on, saints, wake up. Wake up and be that light that Jesus has called you to be. You want to call in? If you have a prayer request, or I wouldn't mind someone praying for me for my surgery, because I have to tell you, You know, I'm a little nervous having a neurosurgeon cut my back open or cut my work on my back next week. So I have to tell you, you know, even people in ministry need encouraging. And so if you want to call in, the number here is 632-1000. Is that right, Danny? 632-1000. If you need prayer, I'd love to pray for you. Some of you say, well, Tom, you have a lack of faith because God didn't heal you. No, lack of faith has nothing to do with it. You know, God's pathway for my healing, if I don't do what the doctors tell me to do, they said in less than a year I'm going to be in a wheelchair. So I have something to do about it by believing God to have surgery, you know? And there's nothing wrong. It doesn't mean I don't have a lack of faith. The Bible said if you have faith of a mustard seed and do not doubt in your heart, guess what? It says that you can say unto this mountain, be removed. You know how big a mustard seed, how small a mustard seed is? You can't even hardly see it. So it doesn't mean you don't have a lack of faith. If you've been praying and you don't see anything going on, you know, just be still and know that he's God, because he's in control. You're not. I'm not. So we serve a big God. So call in. Don't come on now, y'all. Y'all kind of been shy on me a little bit. Call in. The number here is 632-1000. Share your heart, you know. Share your heart and what the Lord's put on your heart. If you want to call in, say, Tom, I'd like to pray for you a minute about your surgery next week. Look, we need to, someone just shared this. Did they text you, Danny, on that? It says, show Tom this scripture. I can't call in right now, but I wanted to share the scripture. His teaching is excellent. It's found in 2 Corinthians 3:6. Let me go to 2 Corinthians 3:6. Thank you for sharing that word. I greatly appreciate that. We do serve a big God. And his word says there's nothing too difficult for him. And there's not. There is absolutely nothing too difficult for him. And I got my Bible all scattered. This Bible, my wife even got me a new Bible, and I have it here, but I still keep going back to my old Bible. It's like an old shoe. You don't want to get rid of it, you know. But now I've got 1 Corinthians. Let me find 2 Corinthians. I do have to put this Bible aside because I got pages that aren't here. So, Danny, what was that? 2 Corinthians 3:6. Let's go to that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:6. He who has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Wow. Wow, that's really good. Thank you for sharing that, because you're right. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Thank you for sharing that. Good morning. This is Tom.
Hey, Tom. This is Carol. I just sent you the wrong scripture, and I so apologize.
No, I enjoyed that, Carol. That's neat.
Maybe we needed to read that one, too.
I think we did. At least I needed to hear that one. So what scripture would you like to share, Carol?
Well, it's really funny, because by two or three witnesses, God confirms his word, and he gave me the scripture this morning in my Bible study, and he gave it to me again when you were just preaching, which was excellent, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6.
Oh, I'm sorry if I got it wrong.
My mistake.
No, no.
I texted incorrectly.
Now, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 6? Would you like to read that, Carol?
Sure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as much as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Let's see. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So I have enjoyed the comfort God has spread upon me. But I never understood that it's to share with others. I've always explain to them where I can find comfort in the Bible, what scriptures comfort me, how to ask God for comfort. But I did not understand that this was a like a sharing center,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he downpours into me the comfort. I mean, I'm sure I share some comfort, but today this, for some reason, really spoke to me.
Mm.
And I think that's what you're getting at as well. You know, we can't go out and correct others, and maybe comforting them might, and loving on them might be a better choice.
Yeah. And I believe you, thank you for sharing this scripture, Carol. If we don't suffer, and how are we going to understand other people who are suffering?
Exactly.
How are we going to understand that? How we, you know, my wife said, well, pray for this person. I said, yeah, I'll pray for her later. I didn't understand what she was going through, but I went through the same thing she went through. Now I understand it. And now when my wife says to pray for someone, I'm like a standing soldier. She has my undivided attention, because it's critical that we comfort one another, because we're all, every day we go through situations in our life, and the Lord's there. And it's nice to have a brother or sister that comes and says, you're going to make it, and love on them and encourage them. And it's so needed. It's so needed. But I think we've gotten off track a little bit. We've gotten haughty, arrogant, and lovers of things instead of lovers of God. I think I think like we're falling in love with the kingdom and not the king. Lord, help us to fall in love with the king and not the stuff. You know,
right,
bring us
right.
back to, and Christ suffered, and there's a reason why he suffered. And sometimes we suffer, but it's to have, when I go to Haiti, I know what those people are going through. They're coming up to me with no leg, no arms, or one leg missing, and I can understand their pain. And so this is very timely, and I thank you for sharing that, because we are to comfort one another.
Right. Well, I thank you for what you're doing. I get fed from your ministries, and I appreciate it greatly. This is how I grow, is through radio ministry and Bible study, whether it be in that house or at church, but in the Word of God as much as I can.
And
I get fed that way, and I grow that way, and I wanted to thank you.
Yeah, thank you, because sometimes I don't feel like I do a good job, because, you know, people will say, well, you know, you're not qualified, you're not equipped, you're not this, well, you know, getting on and on.
You
and
know,
on. You, go ahead, Carol.
You have to remember who God calls. And who he calls, he chooses.
Yeah.
And it's his ministry. So you just keep doing what he wants you to do.
Well, that's,
and you're doing a great job.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
But thank you. And thank you for sharing that word. That was very timely, Carol.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, that was that scripture. Thank you, Carol, for calling in, because that's very timely, that we are to comfort ourselves and also comfort others. And that's so important, because life just isn't going to be easy. You know, it just isn't going to be easy. You know, things aren't always going to go your way. Again, you're going to go to the airport and pick a friend up, and you may drive around that airport 20 times. Are you going to grumble or complain? Or are you going to rejoice and put a praise tape on? Are you going to have some quiet time and talk to the Lord? My wife never laughs so much. Here, Danny, we go to the airport to pick a friend up. And Mark and Mary, don't take offense. You know, I love you guys. But we get there, and their plane was diverted to Tampa. I think this is funny. And my wife, we're laughing and going around, and at the Orlando airport, the lady's yelling at me, get out of here. I said, well, I'm waiting on a friend. And she said, I'll give you one more minute. I said, look, man, my back's hurting, and I've driven around this place 15 times or 20. And she said, give you 1 minute or leave. And so driving around the airport, and then my buddy calls and said, oh, we're in Tampa. What are you going to do, complain or grumble or say, Lord, this is, it was a fun day for my wife and I. It actually, we took something that was so, you know, how would you act? Come on now, be honest. But we took it, and then we said, oh, you're in Tampa. How'd you get to Tampa, by the way? Well, what happened is there was a storm in Orlando, so planes couldn't land in it. And they kept circling Orlando Airport, but the storm was really bad, so they diverted them to Tampa. And the plane was running out of fuel, so it had enough fuel, I guess, to get to Tampa to refuel. And I told Mark and Mary, I said, well, I'll come over there and get you. And they said, no, we're not sure what they're going to do. Make a long story short, the plane fueled and came back to Orlando. Again, my wife and I driving around and around and around. Well, make a long story short, I took my wife for a cup of coffee. She wanted a cup of coffee and dessert. And I found a lovely place to go to. Lovely, I'm telling you. And we had a strawberry shortcake. I tell you what, I didn't need it, but I had it. My wife and I split it. We laughed. Why don't you take things that are negative, that you think are, you know, this is a bad day, you know, cut my finger, this is going to, you know, just why don't we just rejoice in these trying times? You know, why don't we learn to take something that you could be grumbling and grumbling about and have some fun? We actually, thank you, Danny. We actually made it a little vacation. We went to, International Drive and found a little place that had some nice coffee. We got a salad. We had a strawberry shortcake, and we laughed, and we had a good time. And we're not complaining, Mark and Mary. Not at all are we complaining. I think the Lord sometimes tests us. I do. I think he tests us. What is your attitude going to be? What is your attitude going to be if I turn things around for you? You're going to complain? Are you just going to rejoice and take bad situations and you just put them in God's hands? Whether they be you're going to have surgery, whether you got a bad report, whether you came up short on your finances, just rejoice. Sometimes that's difficult for a lot of us, but don't grumble, don't murmur and complain. You know, use that as an opportunity to say, Lord, you know, how can I be that blessing that you've called me to be? Don't clean other people up and fault find. You know, just love on people where they are, you know, on the way of where you're going. That's so important. Let me go to my scripture, the scripture the Lord gave me this morning. The ministry name has changed now. It's no longer Tom Jones, and I'm so grateful for that because I don't want my name mentioned anymore. It is called Encouraging One Another. And, you know, because I've had a life of poverty growing up, no parents, defeat, hopelessness, no hope, nothing. And I sure wish I had someone to tell me the scripture when I was growing up. I really, or someone that would come up and encourage me. And I didn't have that. I never had that. And let me read my second favorite scripture. Besides John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but all have everlasting life. That's my first. The second one is Hebrews 3:13. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 3:13, it's in the New Testament. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ. We hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Remember, encourage one another. Don't look at that person and say, well, you can't do it. You can't make it. That'll never happen. And, you know, sometimes we have to be careful who we share things with. You know, I'm just being honest because there are dream killers. There are people that get jealous. And that's another thing in ministry I do not understand. You know, you go up to someone where they say, well, this is my church. This is my territory. Well, I understand that and I respect that. But sometimes I think if we're not careful, we can fall into a territorial, well, this is my territory. And I respect it. I respect how churches do all things in decency and order. But you get around a Christian brother and he gets offended or he puts a shield up. And, you know, it's all about him. It's all about what God's doing with him. And he becomes threatened by your call. And this has happened to me. And it was a pastor, and he felt threatened a little bit. He shouldn't have felt threatened, because if you're secure in Jesus, and if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will love the people that come your way. You'll love on them. You won't feel threatened by them. It's not a one-man show. It takes all of us to corporately come together, you know? The arm needs the leg needs the eyes need the ears. That's at the beauty of the body of Christ. You know, we all come to corporately together to be a blessing to one another. That's what it's about. So don't feel threatened by someone who has a gift of singing. You know, concentrate on what your gift is that God's given you, and you come alive in that gift. I pray in Jesus' name that you say, well, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. God created you to become creative like him. You know, you have a gift. But maybe your gift in your gift is in dormancy. You're just afraid to step out. I'm calling, and the Lord and I are calling you to step out. Whatever He's called you to do, just do it. Just do it. I'm telling you, and I know the Lord's been telling you, just do it. You know, don't think about it. Just, oh, I have a dream. Well, go now live that dream that He's called you to live. Go run this race with confidence, the race that's set before you. That's in the Scriptures. You know, don't let anyone tell you you can't do it. It's not wrong to get advice. But if Jesus has put something on your heart and you know it, you run with it. Is this going to be scary? Yes. But you know that He goes with you. In Isaiah, it says, fear not, for I'm with you. For I am your God. I will help you. I will strengthen you. And I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. No matter what it is that you're called to do, I'm asking you today, just do it. Whether you want to be a congressman, a judge, a lawyer, run for politics, want to open a garage up to work on cars, that's important too, because we need those trades. Whatever Jesus has put on your heart, do it. Do it. If Jesus is calling, and it says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. You know, maybe God's calling you to become parts of many ministries to come for Him. You know, to be a part of many ministries. No matter what it is God's calling you to do, just be faithful and do it. Just be faithful. Step out. You know, if Jesus is calling you to do something, don't be like Jonah now. Don't be running the other way. That's what I usually do. Actually, I believe my spiritual name is called Jonah Jr. Because when I get assignments, I'm hightailing it and running away until I get right with God and go back and do what I'm called to do. You know, don't do that. Whatever He tells you to do, you know what, folks, saints of God, don't put it off tomorrow. Just do it. If He's telling you to be that blessing, be that blessing. He's telling you to be a congressman, be that congressman. If He's telling you to run for president, become the best president America's ever seen. If He's calling you to be a missionary, be the greatest missionary the world has ever seen. And I'm being honest. Encourage one another. Let's go back to Hebrews 3:13 again. Encourage one another daily while today is still called the day. Didn't say encourage one another yearly. Didn't say encourage one another monthly, but daily. It's a daily thing that you and I have to work on, that you don't see the fault in that brother's life. You don't see that. You see destiny in a person's life. That's what Jesus would see. He would see destiny. When I went to Haiti, I've been to Korea, and you know, you don't see poverty. I didn't see poverty when I was in Haiti, my last trip to Haiti. I saw destiny with people. I saw destinies that Jesus had for them. To take a country and turn it upside down for Jesus, you know? So whatever it is that Jesus is calling you to do, just do it. Stay focused. Is it going to be tough? It could be. It was for me to step out. People kept saying, no, you'll never make it. You can't do it. And so the naysayers, you know, just love on them and keep moving on. You know, just love them and keep moving on. And if they've spoken words of had a critical spirit towards you, or they said something to you, you know, just love them in Jesus' name and forgive them and move on. You know, don't talk about it. Just forgive them and move on. Just move on. And that's what we're to do. We're to move on. We're to move on. Let your heart beat again. Lord, have those that are listening, let their heart beat again for you. Let my heart beat again for you. As your heart beats, people, let our hearts beat again for you. That we can hear you and do what you tell us to do. You know, maybe God's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher. Maybe God's calling you to become a pastor. Maybe God's calling you to be a good teacher. We need good teachers. We need good electricians. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we need these specialists that can come to your house and do a good job when they're doing electrical work or plumbing. And you shouldn't look at them any different than anyone else, you know? God's unique. God's good. God's faithful. God's all-loving. God's all-caring. So no matter what you're going through, I tell you what, you don't know what to do, let Jesus minister to you and tell you what to do, what that gift is in your life. You know, some of you have gone dormant. Your gifts in your life have gone dormant. Let Him wake you up. It's like a tree. You know how trees go dormant and they lose all their leaves? Maybe your life, you've lost all your leaves. But I ask the Lord to bring, in Jesus' name, to bring you back to life. I do. to show you what you're called to do. You've got a purpose. You've got a destiny. Even my wife has a destiny. She wrestles with that sometimes. What am I called to do? We're called to be a blessing. We're called to go into the darkness and light it up for Jesus. We're called to be parts of many ministries to come. You know, I don't want to gather everything, all the riches in the world, and I don't want all that stuff, because I believe it's in Proverbs that says, better where there is little, where love dwells, where plenty, where hate abounds. Let's go over that one. You know, better where there is little. You might have a little, but sure got a lot of love in that home. Or do you have plenty and live in these big mansions, and you don't have God's love in that home? You know, I tell you, God will provide your needs. He'll provide your needs. You know, He's big. We serve a big God. And His word reminds us, is there anything too difficult for Him? Let God, let the Lord stir you up. Let the Lord fire you up. May you never be the same from this day. Father God, I pray for those that are listening, including myself, you burn our flesh up, that we may, as I believe Paul said, that we may decrease, that you, Father God, could increase in our life. I pray that we would not point fingers at one another, become critical to one another, Father God, anymore, that we would learn to have a gracious spirit, a loving spirit, Father God, to be that light into the dark places. Father God, use those that are listening. Use our churches, Father God. Let revival begin, Father God, in our land once again, Father God. Let us have harmony. Let pastors have harmony towards one another. Let Congress and the Senate have harmony with one another. That we respect one another, despite this Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. That we learn to respect one another. Father God, help us find our way. Help us find our way. Help us to be that your hand, your eyes, your mouth, your feet. Father God, that we would faithfully walk, as your word says, the steps that you've established for us to walk in. Father God, help us. Help the listeners. Help myself, Father God. I pray those that are listening that, Father God, that you would stir us all up. You'd wake us up. Fire us up, Father God. Give us joy. Give us more joy. Give us more laughter. Let us laugh. You know, the word says that merry medicine, laughter is like merry medicine to the soul. Come on now. Y'all going through something like I am? Start laughing. Come on. Because laughter is like merry medicine. Come on now. Look, God wrote the book. I didn't. Yeah, any complaints, anything, go to Him, not me. You know, He wrote the book. Listen here. Laughter is like merry medicine. Let's laugh more, folks. Come on. We're getting too serious. Maybe too religious. You know, you put the word of God when you read it, let it go from the head, let it go to the heart. And that's what's going to move you and stir you up to do what He's called you to do, whatever that may be. I pray the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob on each and every one of you that are listening. I pray that today, for some of you, would be a new dawn, a new day, and a new beginning. Well, my time's just about up. What I have, Danny, another minute, 1 minute left? So I pray that this program was a blessing. Remember, the program's now called Encouraging One Another. I want you to start working on that, and I will too. And, my time's just about up. I sure love the radio, Danny. Thank you for being here. You know, I probably get on his nerves once in a while. I get on my nerves too. So, you know, I have to live with myself. Lord, clean me up. Clean me up, Father God, that I can stay more focused on you. Fall deeper in love with you. Let the listeners fall deeper in love with you. Each and every day that we wake up, we don't have a spirit of grumbling, complaining, murmuring, arguing, worrying. Let that be broken off of us, Lord. And we also pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, Father God. That, Father God, that no weapon formed against Israel shall prosper, the apple of your eye. Bless the listeners, Father God. Bless them, Father God. Touch them, Father God, as only you can, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that by your stripes we were healed. Till next week, may God richly bless you, and I pray the very best is yet to come. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.